way that Christy guessed immediately was due to his concealed sword stick. There was also enough light for her to see that the old man had also managed to hide his cannon of a Lama away from their Mutey captors. As her eyes grew accustomed to the dimness, her heart sank. In her years in Deathland, she'd seen plenty of Muties, but she'd never seen what looked peculiarly like an army of them. There were about 15 scalies surrounding their two captives. All of them were male, mostly standing between 5'6" and 5'9". You didn't very often see a tall Muty, or an old one, come to that. They all wore heavy combat boots studded with iron, dark pants with a variety of thick woolens and furs over the top, and all wore identical black berets with a crude silver lightning flash sewn to the front. The uniforms gave them a bizarre, almost militaristic appearance, quite out of keeping with their faces. Apart from the webbed fingers, which ended in hooked, horn-like nails, the skin of the creatures was a dark greenish-gray and covered in thick, overlapping scales. They mostly had very prominent jaws and small noses, more like porcine snouts, a double row of snaggle teeth with serrated rear-facing points, tiny eyes with vertically split pupils and ridges of protective bone over them, and their ears were set flat against the sides of their narrow skulls.
Yeah, stop barking and walk.
The nearest of the scalies nudged Christy with a long-shafted spear. Most of them were armed with nail-tipped cudgels or with metal bars. Nearly all had daggers stuck into broad belts of rope or leather. Christy could only see a couple of blasters. One unbelievably battered M16 carbine, and a Saturday Night Special, almost identical to the ones wielded by Dredd and Retha. Christy began to move forward alongside Doc, and noticed for the first time that they weren't the only prisoners of the Scalies' raiding party. Walking in single file ahead of them, linked by chains attached to neck collars, were a dozen or more men and women. Most carried various pieces of scrap metal and wood.
Slavers.
Right.
The passage in front of them opened up into what had probably once been a part of a shopping mall, but was now completely stripped. They walked quickly through it, across a place where several different corridors intersected. Christy looked up and saw that there had once been a great dome over it, but that was melted a century ago, and now stood open to the sky. The clouds had peeled away, showing a patch of bright blue. But around their feet lay several inches of fresh-fallen snow, trampled by boots. Christy carefully picked her way over to an untouched patch a little to one side, so that her distinctive boot heels would leave a trail for Ryan and the others to follow.
Come on, lover. It's all up to you.
Hey, the sun's out!
Bright golden spears, darting in high above them, lanced into corners of the huge concourse. Now they could see faded signs pointing the way to different bus routes, and empty boxes that had once been smart little stores. Rubble filled the corners, and was piled against the stout walls.
You feel ready to go?
I'm ready, John. I won't slow you down. Let's go get our friends back.
All right. We'll go back to the street where we came in, then try and pick up their trail. Shouldn't be that difficult to track them.
You think she and Doc are...
alive?
Ryan looked at Mildred.
I don't have a choice, Mildred. I have to believe Christy and Doc are still living. Now let's go and find them.
The Scalies drove them faster, briefly out into the open, and then into another deep passage that Christy suspected might have once been linked to some kind of subway system. One of the slaves ahead tripped and fell.
No!
Shut the hell up, slatter!
No more! I'm up!
Look at that woman. Third in the line.
Where? Ah, I see her. Was she not the one who tried to speak to Ryan back in the market? I do believe it was she.
Even in that shifting half-light, there was no mistaking the dreadful facial scarring or the missing thumbs. And she still wore the small metal locket around her neck.
Wonder where we're going.
Ow!
You'll be going to have tongue cut off if you talk again.
Christy nodded. There was a place where several of the linked passages all joined up, under what had once been a large dome. Now it was flooded with bright sunlight, showing the tracks of a large number of people who'd passed there recently. Ryan and JB crouched in the snow, studying the marks intently.
That's Christy, all right. Think these here are Doc, but he's walking funny like he's limping some.
And there's a load of folks in ragged shoes. But what about these?
The cleated boot marks?
Yeah,
Could be some kind of barren sick man. No, not around here. Not this kind of a ruinville.
That Scaly gang Dredd said were near the West River. Gotta be them. Must be a dozen or more of them.
Shit. Could be they saw us, and they might leave a couple of snipers behind.
Day'll be done soon. Shouldn't we be thinking about somewhere for the night?
Ryan turned toward Mildred, and she winced at the totally empty expression on his face. Then it was as if someone had wiped a cloth over it, restoring the polish of humanity again.
Tonight. Soon, but not yet.
The Scalies had reached their destination. Christy could taste the salt of the river close by, and there was a bone-damp feel to the air. They had stopped at what looked like a linked complex of warehouses and industrial installations. The jagged skeletons of old cranes were etched against the bright sky. They were herded, with the neck-chained group, into one of the massive buildings. All around the outer walls were huge metal tanks that had once held hundreds of thousands of gallons of various chemicals. Some still had painted symbols on their sides, faded and barely legible.
Down on the ground, now!
Christy and Doc obliged.
I'll be glad when Ryan and the others arrive with much blowing of bugles and waving of banners.
They can forget the bugles and banners, just so long as they get here.
Ryan learned the hard way that pursuing Christy and Doc was going to be a whole lot more dangerous than he'd hoped. It was one of the moments when the trail took them out into the open air. They'd been moving as fast as they dared, with Ryan leading, Mildred second, and JB in his habitual position at rear guard. An archway was supported by heavy iron girders opening into a street, and Ryan led the way under it, stopping so abruptly that Mildred bumped into him.
Shh!
Mildred had the sense to keep her mouth shut, flattening herself against the rough bricks of the wall behind her. Then they saw them. Scalies. Four of them walking by. It didn't seem as if the Scalies noticed the companions. Ryan leveled the G-12 at his hip, finger tight on the trigger, while JB had drawn his blaster, head turning around to make sure they weren't going to get cold cocked from the rear. Mildred pulled out her own target pistol, swallowing hard and struggling to calm her breathing. But the foursome simply kept walking by, oblivious to how close to death they had come.
Scalies, like we thought.
Now what worries me about them, Ryan?
What?
The way they carried themselves.
Yeah, they must feel safer on these parts. Like they're snug as bugs in their own part of the ville. Could be we'll run into a lot more of them.
Mildred began the motion of reholstering her blaster, then changed her mind, keeping it fisted in her hand, ready. The leader of the Scalies, its beret sporting a crimson flash alongside the lightning symbol, stalked over to stand in front of Christy and Doc. Both of them knew from bitter experience that there was a time to resist and a time to obey. This was one of the latter times. They both stood, Doc moving clumsily because of his concealed sword stick.
Howdy!
Indeed, that is correct. Strangers passing through your beautiful town.
Words needed are yes and no. Nothing more. Understand?
Yes.
There was no response from the mutie. No flicker of life or emotion in the green soulless eyes. A sinuous tongue darted out across the protuberant lips.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Will we work here for you, or are you going to take us somewhere else?
It's all same, Audi. We got roads all through the ville. Under roads.
Sewers.
The mutie's long head moved slowly toward Doc, and his jaws opened an inch or so, revealing its edged teeth. The hand holding the whip began to lift, then stopped.
You didn't ask to speak, old man.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
Not till again, old man.
Can we eat, please?
Work ends, then eat. Then go to sleep place. Have neck chains fitted. Now end questions.
Think they'll keep moving them?
Could be. The number that we've seen means it's going to be triple tough to spring them free. And these Scalies seem well organized. More like Muti Sekhmen. Got loads of prisoners, so they must have a system for feeding and working them. And places for